World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, that'd be my cue to come in here. God bless you. Thanks for joining us here this morning. And, man, I gotta tell you, I just had one of those moments that, I mean, only God can give you those kind of moments. I mean, it's amazing. Here it is, May 3rd, 2018. Beautiful weather here finally in Ohio. It's beautiful yesterday. It's beautiful this morning. Out here in the cornfields of Ohio where we live. We live out away from the city. Let's leave it at that. And our granddaughter, Reese, stayed with us last night. She's 7. I don't know if you're listening up there. And got up this morning and Michelle and Reese were sitting on, I was up early. I was doing some work. Reese and Michelle on the back porch. Beautiful. You got to sit on the back deck. And it's been such a long winter. And we're sitting out there. And so I pulled up a chair and I sat down beside my 7-year-old granddaughter. Stay with me a second. I'm talking to you. And I just pulled up a seat. And I said, Reese, you know how lucky you are? How lucky we are? She says, what do you mean, Grant? What do you mean, Granty? I said, well, think about all the children in the inner city who never, ever get to wake up in the morning and go out and sit on their back deck and see trees and hear birds talking to each other, communicating with each other. And I said, listen, we listened. We heard all the different kinds of birds. I said, what are they saying, Reese? What are they saying to each other? Because they're talking to each other. And she says, well, Grampy, they're praising the Lord. I said, yeah, everything that has breath, praise the Lord. And I was able to sit down and talk to her real briefly. It only took 2 minutes, real briefly, about how God breathed into Adam the breath. God formed Adam out of the dust of the earth and breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And I said, Larice, we're just clay. And we're just a clay old body till the Lord breathes breath of life into us, and then we become alive. I said, then what happens when we die, Reese? And she says, well, Grampy, we go back to dirt. I said, yeah, we go back to dirt, but what happens to us? Well, she says, we go to the Lord. And I thought, oh my goodness, what a moment that was. And I want to tell you something, grandparents. Don't miss those moments. Every chance you get, don't miss that chance. Don't miss that chance. 30 years from now, Reese might remember that moment. The two of us sitting there and explaining that. You never know when you're going to have a chance to plant those seeds. So I thank the Lord this morning that I got a chance to do that and that I live out in the country. And I said, what do you think the little kids in the city are hearing this morning, Reese? She said, cars. Horns. Yep, we're hearing birds. We're hearing birds. Praise the Lord. There's only 25 of you in here. Come on in here today. Boy, we are stirring them up. Oh, I'm a provocateur. To provoke to love and to good works, Hebrews 10:24. It's what I'm trying to do. And I was thinking before I came, you got to read my emails. Because we've really, really tapped into something that I believe is one of the great, great controversies in Christianity, and it's stuff we've been talking about the last couple of days regarding the Jews, the Israelites, a Jewish heritage. And I have to tell you, I got some of the most unbelievable emails, great information from people out there. But I keep coming back. Is Mark Trump in here today? I don't think he is. I think he's off earning money, which is probably a good thing. I keep coming back to the same thing. You know what that is? Excuse me. First truth. The idea that what you believe because somebody else taught it to you. And once you get a hold of that first truth, you don't want anybody else to shake it. And I'm hearing from people who have been raised in churches where they worship, Israel. That's the only way I can explain it. Now, I'm not here to, you'll never hear me say, this is it. I'm right, you're wrong. You'll never hear me say that. One of the things that I like about this show, I don't know about you, one of the things I like about the show is I come and I lay stuff on the table that you've never thought about, and when we walk away, it is up to you and the Holy Spirit to figure out the truth. Would everybody agree with that? Is it? Would everybody out there amen and say, Coach, when this show's over,
yep.
And I never felt like you told me I had to believe something. Never did.
Amen.
Because that is not my goal. I don't care. Listen, the scripture says you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You do that. But how can you work out your own salvation? How can you figure out anything if you don't have all the facts? We do that all the time. We don't have the facts. We go watch a basketball game or a football game, and we can't figure out why the coach makes some of the moves that he makes during the game. And we're all mad. Why'd you do this? Why'd you throw? Well, we don't have the analytics. We don't know what he knows. We don't have the bit of information that he's operating off of. We don't know what he knows. And unfortunately, we are all imprisoned by what we know and by what we don't know. So this is a place where come join in here. I lay that red piece of meat out there and say, here, take a bite of this. Have you ever considered this? Here, have you ever considered this? Or do you just like the same old bland meal every day? Which is it? Because I believe this thing called Christianity is far more vast than what we understand. I'm going to tell you, that makes some people nervous. Because they want to have it all figured out, even though scriptures tell us that we're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. And I'm going to pull that out of context. I'm talking about silly women laden with lust who are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. But it applies to all of us. And I just think even the last 3 days, the stuff that I've learned over this teaching that we're going through here right now, teaching is not the right word. Exposé would be a better word. Wouldn't that be a better word? That we're exposing some stuff? And we have to all, boom, boom, boom. Am I doing okay this morning? Are you guys out there? Chad, what? Chad, go ahead. Did you say something, Jared? I'm sorry.
Yeah, just with what you said, Christianity is bigger than we know. I kind of interpret that also as Christianity is more real than we know. Like, I left a conference walking away, and I explained this to a buddy of mine on the phone yesterday. I was like, you know, I left this conference and with the feeling that the spiritual realm is real, and sin, unrepentant sin, is like a gunshot wound in your body.
Mm. Mm.
And when we don't, and Jesus can heal those gunshots, but when we keep shooting ourselves, it's physically harmful. It's physically and spiritually harmful. Like, there's no difference. It's physically and spiritually harmful. It's the same thing. They both have equal worth, and actually the spiritual harm has more worth than a physical gunshot wound.
Oh, man, it does. But I'm doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting a different result. Somebody said that's the definition of ignorance. And so I agree with you, Jared. And my faith has come alive as I've dug into some
insanity.
Of these things. Insanity. Thanks, Dale. As I've dug into some of these, some of the stuff I'm going to show you this morning, as I've dug into this stuff, man, it has deepened my faith. It hasn't shook it. It hasn't shaken, not at all, hasn't shaken my faith. To think again, as Mark Trump would say, data, 6,000 years of data, so much stuff that we don't know, so much stuff we believe that somebody told us, only because somebody told them. Oh, baby. Hang in there. Listen, I'm going to go to Maine, flying out of Maine on Saturday. David Arthur, you out there, David? Can you? David's got it. I don't know if you have it. I don't want to take a whole lot of time on this. We're going to be in Maine this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Give it to us real quick, David. Where do they go? How do they connect?
Vacation Land Inn on Saturday starting at 3 p.m. It's the Man Up Conference for Christian men and women. Our speakers, actually, Scott Lively had to cancel because of his campaign. He has a limited time to do some to gather some signatures and do some tasks for his campaign. So he had to cancel, but it actually works out for the better. It makes it a better evening for people who are driving. That has been their concern. So we have Coach Dave Dalvenmeier, myself, we have Diane Splits from massresistance.org, Chris Kane from Alive Ministries, and of course we're having dinner and we're going to have a service Sunday morning, so look us up. It's the Man Up Conference 2018 on Facebook.
Is that how they find it, Man Up Conference? Is that where they go?
Yep, Man Up Conference 2018 on Facebook, or they can go to I Belong Amen Ministries on Facebook. And
I Belong Amen Ministries. It's probably up at CoachDaveLive.com. They can probably find it there. Chad, what's going on in Texas?
Hard work and dedication, sir.
Sure it is, brother. Well, some people are looking for some relaxation there. Give it to them, brother.
That's right. Okay, so we're going to kick off on Friday night at 7 p.m., a cookout, burgers and all that stuff, and then until we're done, whenever that is. And then we'll restart again at 10 a.m. on Saturday morning. Saturday we'll have some fellowship prayer, spiritual warfare, and then we'll do a little shooting and stuff, and then bring it in and do a little bit more spiritual stuff, and then we'll conclude. And then Sunday morning we'll kick it off at 9 a.m. with a huge breakfast.
Wow.
We cook and homegrown eggs and pork and all that kind of stuff. And so then we'll have some communion. We'll have a message by David and Cynthia. And then we'll have communion. And then we're going to do some baptisms like that. And then we'll conclude it right after that.
Awesome. Awesome. Where they find that, Chad?
Okay. Well, if you need any information, also hotel and lodging and all that, please email me, texas@saltandlightbrigade.org. texas@saltandlightbrigade.org. Thank you.
All right, baby. Or we can connect you as well. Good stuff going on. You know, this show is amazing. Let me explain why. I can't believe the number of people that I hear from that I have no idea would be listening to this show. Ask me, Coach, is there anybody in Illinois? Coach, is there anybody in Missouri? Coach, I'm in Oregon, Coach. Is there anybody out? People are so hungry to connect to something. And listen, you're going to have to step to the plate. You are. Yeah, you are going to have to step to the plate in the area in which you live. You got to come out of the hiding and say, listen, I don't know, I have any idea what I'm doing, Coach, but I'm willing to try to get people together in my area. And we'll help you do that. We'll help provide some finances if you want to. We'll lock you up with Chad or coach you on how to do it. There are people. Are you ready for this? I heard yesterday from two men in New Zealand who are watching the show and ask, is there anyone else in New Zealand? And I got an email today from one of them. And I said, well, sure. Here's the other one. And I connected those two guys today in New Zealand looking for like-minded brothers. I hear from everywhere. That's why I know that what we are doing is timely. And it is a gathering together. We can brag and call ourselves the remnant. We can say whatever you want to. But I'm just going to tell you this. It's a gathering together of like-minded people who are not afraid to go down rabbit holes and not afraid to look deep into their faith and not afraid to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. We need more of you to step to the plate and say, listen, Coach, I have no idea what I'm doing, but here I am, Lord, send me, show me what I need to do. I would like to have a greater impact right where we live. Then we'll help put the meat on the bones around. You could say, well, you know, I don't know anybody here. It's just me and my brother. Well, okay. Well, we'll start with you and your brother and we'll put some people around. We're doing it all across the country. And you say, what are you putting together? People? Well, yeah, is it a denomination? No, it's people, like-minded people who want to go deeper in their faith. What we're trying to do here. New Zealand. I heard from Australia. You ready? I heard from Istanbul. Amazing, isn't it? I mean, You guys, some of you guys have been, some of you have been here in my studio. Istanbul, from here. We can touch the world, man. But some of you are going to have to get engaged and help us out. You're just going to have to help. We only do so much. And I don't want to be some, I don't want to become some figure on a computer screen. I don't want, if that's all it is, I can make videos. I don't want to do that. I might jump in here. Give me an amen or an oh my.
Well, Coach, God's making, creating a culture. He's creating a culture through you or whatever you want to. There's a culture being created, and
that's
maybe
right.
even
mm-hmm.
being rediscovered. That mm. where, you know, where right they you meet them and you say, you look them in the eye and you say, wow, we have everything in common already, and I don't even know your name.
Isn't that something? Isn't that something?
You know, I see you're carrying a Bible there. Well, let's go fishing, you know, and read that together, or whatever. And it's God-centered, uh-huh. right? It's great.
David, that's going to say that that's one of the things about when you go to hear the Watchman, when you go to the Man Up Conference, when you go to the annual stuff that we do there, that's why, man, in our brigade meetings and such, it's hard to leave. It's just like, I don't want to go because now you got to go back to all the other people
yep.
that snicker and sneer at you rather than, anyways. So
no, I do know.
Here's
do.
The thing. I think what I sense is that God is doing something, okay?
Hey, Glenn, hang on a minute, Glenn. You've been to these events at Chad's house. You've been to other places. You understand it, don't you, Glenn? You understand it,
yeah,
don't you?
Well, I have, still having a foot in the corporate church world, and then having been to the Watchman's Conference three times, having been down to Chad's, you know, God wants to do something in us. And Coach, I think you're the catalyst that is agitating men, and then I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in a good way, to move forward, to step out, to do something. And that's what's happening.
I believe it. Which, if I can throw a harmless, a shameless plug, June 15 and 16, get out here if you can. Get here so you can look I look down this list, so you can look these people in the eye, get to know them, and understand they're real. They're more than just a voice and a face on a screen. Get here. June 15, 16. It's on our website. And I'm thinking about food. I'm watching the chat that's going on over here. These guys are talking about food. You know, I go down to Dale Socia's, Pastor Dale Socia, and he introduced me to gumbo. What? That ain't food. He introduced me to, dare I say it, crawfish. I said, listen, where I come from, first of all, those ain't fish. That ain't a fish. Secondly, where I come from, we call them crawdads. Ain't no such thing as a crawfish. But see, Dale has deepened my culinary appetite. I taste some of it, and I don't like it. I taste some other of it, and he throws a bunch of spices in there, which hides the real taste of it. Oh, I like that, okay. And because my food gets spiced up, I enjoy eating more. Well, when the Bible gets spiced up, don't you enjoy eating it more? You just want hamburgers and french fries? You can get that anywhere you go. So thanks, Dale, for feeding me that crap that you make down there at Cajun Food. Crawdads, who ever heard such a thing? Amen? Amen. Okay, here we go. Here we go. You all ready? You buckled up? Won't try to be nice to you, although it isn't my goal. Hey, Jared, let's do this in first thing. Jared, I forwarded to you an email that says, today you can send an unmistakable message of love to the whole nation of Israel. Lobster, yuck, I'm with you, Don. Hey, David Arthur, I come into Maine. Don't try to give me none of that, them lobsters. Those are just big roaches. That's all they are. That's all it is. It's all that. Don't try to tell me how good that thing is, okay? Don't do that. Born at night, but wasn't last night. clams. You guys stop it. Jared, what are you pulling up? Or what did I tell you to pull up there? Let's see. Pull up. Do you have it, Jared? Did I forward that to you? Okay. Because this guy, I get this email today. And you understand, I hope when this show is over, you don't really know what I believe, because I'm telling you, you don't know it. But I've read a lot of stuff. And so I get this in my email today, and I'm not making fun of anybody, but this is topical on what we just saw. So I get this email today. Will you be God's arms of love around the Holocaust survivor today? Jerusalem prayer team. Today I'm asking you to join us in spreading an unmistakable love to the whole nation of Israel. We purchased a building last year in Jerusalem to provide homes to poor Holocaust survivors with no safe place to live, yada, 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 yada. So an entire ministry devoted to Israel. Christian ministry devoted to Israel. Now, I believe that Israelis need the gospel. And I know some people say, well, hang on. Stop assuming you know what I believe. Stop it. Because I work very hard to not tell you what I believe. I want you to come up with your own truth. The truth. I want you to find it on yourself. So am I making fun? There ought to be people praying for Jerusalem. My brother, Joe, my oldest brother, right now, just sent me a email. He's in Turkey. My brother's a missionary in Turkey right now. Thank God people are missionaries of Turkey. Thank you, Lord, it ain't me. Right? So I'm not making fun of evangelizing any people or any nation. Don't get that wrong. Okay, cool. So there, I want you to see what we're up against. Not up against, that's not the right word. I want you to see what we're talking about here. Okay, Jared. Boys, I'm going to try to come to this a little bit different, because I want to show you outside the box thinking. That's what I want to do, okay? Because this is a weird place to start, I admit it, but it's where I want to start. Jared, let's go to blacks voting. You guys know who Kanye West is, don't you? You know who Kanye West is? Well, Kanye West is probably the most influential. I'm sorry, I'm on top of my cord here. Oh, probably one of the most influential black rap artists in America. And Kanye West, about a week ago, came out and supported Donald Trump, and the world's going crazy. And here, look at this. This is on Gateway Pundit today. This is a good place to go, by the way, a good news site, The Gateway Pundit. Look at that. Boom. Black male support for President Trump doubles in 1 week, thanks to Kanye West. So if we don't think entertainers influence us, boy, have we got another thing to come. Black male support for President Trump doubles in 1 week, thanks to Kanye West. If this kind of stuff continues, the Democratic Party is going to be dead. I'm not talking politics. Stay with me. If this kind of stuff happens, the Democratic Party will be dead. If Kanye West isn't first. I'm being serious here. Because we know that the monolithic black vote. I'm talking about brainwashing, believing something simply because somebody told you it. Blacks are brainwashed. 85%, 90% of voting for the Democrats, voting for Hillary Clinton, 90%. You can't get 90% of anybody of anything to agree with. Nobody. You can't find 90, but they all agree. Why? Because they've been brainwashed. And Kanye West comes out and he says, Trump's my man. I'm a Trump supporter, yada, yada, yada. And all the Democrats and all the rap and all that conglomerate that wants to control black people in particular, they come, the wrath of them comes down on Kanye. And he's doubled down. He hadn't backed up. Still fighting. He says, I'm an independent man. I'm an independent thinker. Hey, Christians, I'm talking to you and your little biblical belief, the little box that you're in. In a lot of ways, Christian, you ain't no different than the blacks on the plantation. You're believing stuff people told you. And when we come here and I lay stuff on the table and say, have you considered this? Some of you get mad. Some of you want to do to me what you're doing to what's his name? Kanye. Why, my goodness, I took you someplace that your pastor hadn't talked about. Oh! I'm going to say amen.
Yeah, you're getting flack unless you're over the target.
That's right, baby. That's right. So I got to show this because I'm segueing here. That's another word I learned. I'm segueing here into something else. Jared, pull up that video by Bill Whittle. It's called, it just says Whittle. This is really good. I don't know if you guys ever watched Bill Whittle. This is it. This is, hey, now as we watch this, I want you to think about the average Christian and the brainwashing box they're stuck in. Okay? How about this? How about that? Everybody's stuck in a box. We don't want to, we can all see all the blacks. Why, those blacks, they don't know what's going on. Well, somebody needs to tell them the truth, but not us, man. We got it all. It's all right here in this box. Well, come on here. Go ahead, Jared, real quickly. Think about yourself. Think about your Christian friends.
So,
don't think race.
Artist and pop culture superstar Kanye West committed the ultimate sin just a little while ago. You see, murder and rape, that kind of peccadillo, can be forgiven in Hollywood. But Kanye West, well, he's crossed the line. He has openly praised Donald Trump. And the left is acting as if the world is coming to an end. They're reacting as if the world is coming to an end because the world is coming to an end. Their world, anyway. Kanye West won his left-wing street cred when he made an off-the-cuff remark during a live television appearance for Hurricane Katrina relief back in 2005.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
Look, like him or loathe him, and there's no real middle ground when it comes to Kanye, he is arguably the most powerful and influential voice in music in the world. Young blacks love Kanye's music, and young whites and Hispanics and Asians all around the planet try their best to dress and talk and sing like Kanye West because Kanye has moral credibility.
Moral
now,
cred.
Here's an electoral college map of what the next presidential election would look like if it was held today and only millennials voted. And here's a map of what it would look like if only non-whites voted. So, since it's obvious to everyone of intelligence and social consciousness that the only people that support Donald Trump are aging white racists, the reason the left is melting down over this is because they are having a hell of a time trying to figure out how to turn this guy into this guy. It's not going well at all. Chance the Rapper, another hip-hop artist who is also a closeted old white male racist, apparently, stepped on a 500-megaton thermonuclear rake when he inadvertently said, quote, black people don't have to be Democrats, unquote. Oh, yes, they do. Oh, yes, they do. You see, if Democrats don't get at least 85% of the black vote, they never win national office again. Let me just say that one more time. If black people decide that they don't have to be Democrats, then the Democratic Party simply ceases to exist. That's why enormous pressure was put on Chance the Rapper to recount his thought crime, which he did. Even more pressure was put on Kanye to take back his pro-Trump tweets, which, and I can't believe I'm saying this, to his everlasting credit, is something Kanye has steadfastly refused to do. And that includes, by the way, a death threat from a fellow musical hip-hop artist. Kanye says he likes the way that Candace Owens thinks. I do, too. By the way, below there's a link to 3 1-minute, 60-second SmackDown videos I did with Candace for TPUSA. But it's even worse than that, because careful sleuthing has revealed that Kanye West is listening. Are you sitting down? Kanye West listens to Jordan Peterson. And as I write this, I discover that he has quoted the smartest man on planet Earth, Thomas Sowell. Kanye West quoted Thomas Sowell. Sorry about that. Kanye West has 28 million Twitter followers. 28 million people just heard from Thomas Sowell. And of the 28 million, I'm guessing that the number who've never heard of Thomas Sowell before is somewhere around 28 million. Now, that means that Kanye has to renounce his conservative thought crimes. He just has to. And for the biggest reason of all, which is simply this. Kanye West has given people permission to like Donald Trump. This influential, as cool as they get pop icon listens to Jordan Peterson and Candace Owens and Thomas Sowell, and that gives anyone who's ever heard of Kanye West permission to to listen to them too. Kanye's many, many things, but Square is not one of them. So here's where the left has a bit of a problem on their hands. You see, liberal Democrats have been running these cities for those many years. Remember that mass shooting in Las Vegas a while back? 59 people killed? That was one less person than 1 month, that same month, in Chicago. 1 month. Every month. Same numbers, more or less, for these other cities as well. So the only way to make people who actually live in these inner cities take numbers like this, when I say take it, I mean, you know, take it, eat it, live with it, is to lie to them. Lie to them. And the lie is that the people with the courage to talk about this, because we would like to have something done about it, have to be racist, because there's only one thing, that could make Black America put up with so many of their kids being killed on the streets in front of their eyes every single day for three generations now. And that one thing is the lie that somehow, and please tell me how, Republicans would be worse. Anyway, that's the plan. So now this guy likes this guy, and that makes this guy an anti-Black racist. And so is this guy, as well as this racist, and this racist, 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 both racist, 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 scientific racist, 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 and guess what? Racist, racist, and racist. Did you ever play that game that children like to play? When you say a word so fast, so many times, that it suddenly loses all of its meaning?
Wow. So listen, don't miss this. This isn't about politics. I'm applying this same thing to the one mindset of Christians, our inability to look different in a different direction from what we're being told in our pulpit. Am I making this clear? Somebody jump in here. I hope I'm making clear to you that you are just as brainwashed as everybody else. You believe stuff, and you don't even know why you believe it. Somebody come on in here.
I would like to add the dimension that while the opportunity, the door is cracking open for the demise of the Democrat Party, I would love to think the door is cracking open for the demise of the Republican Party, too.
Amen.
Brainwashed folks voting Republican because there's an R behind the name, as there is
Amen.
Democrats voting Democrat.
Amen. 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 And Larry, it's the same thing, though. See, union Democrats, they're waking up. We know. So there's a real shift going on in America right now. A real shift. And I'm telling you this, there is a real shift coming in Christianity as well. And you want to feel like you passed gas. You walk into the average church and you say something unflattering about Israel and they'll escort you out. Somebody say amen.
Amen, coach. It's all about
that.
Amen.
Right? Well, so we're here to challenge you a little bit. So here's what I want to do. Now remember, please remember, I'm going to throw some red meat on the table today. You don't have to, you can go eat some gumbo if you want. You eat whatever you want. I'm going to offer this up on the menu. I believe that you're smart enough, and I believe you have access to a Bible, that you can do some research on your own rather than just getting mad at me. Got to be something else you can do besides that. Okay? I'm going to lay it on the table. So, Jared, I got a couple emails that I thought, by golly, I think maybe these things are worth hearing. Where is that, Jared? Is that the one I want? Oh, that one's really good. Okay, Jared, let's go. It says email on Edom. Email on Edom, it says, Jared. Okay, Jared says it's going to take a minute. I keep been booming around. Do you guys understand how we're brainwashed too? Do you understand it? Same just like Conway's trying to get through to the Blacks. Do you understand it? We're just brainwashed. Hello? Wake up here, dude. So Jared's bringing up this email. I'm waiting on him. I'm not criticizing you, Jared. There it is. I got this email. This is pretty cool for me. Dave, this is from a guy who maybe can't get in the queue. And so he had something he wanted to say. So I let Larry come in and say stuff. I let George come in and say stuff. I let Roger come in and say stuff. This guy wants to come in and say stuff. So he sent me an email. And here's what he said. You ready? Here comes some shrimp. Dave, I was listening to your show this morning. May I offer a few points of clarification? Violating God's instructions, the Israelite mixed with the pagan people. Part of this mixing including peoples from the country of Edom. They were the sons of Esau. When the Babylonians conquered the southern kingdom of Judah, history records that the Edomites assisted the Babylonians. While the Israelites were in captivity in Babylon, the peoples of Edom moved into much of the southern part of Judah. When the Israelites, the Jews, returned from Babylon, they were accomplished with many strangers, non-Israelites. This conglomeration mixed with many of the Edomites in the southern section of Judah. Those that returned to Judah from Babylon brought a wealth of pagan traditions that had been adopted during their stay. These traditions were the practices Jesus was addressing when he excoriated the religious leaders. These traditions were of the most vile imaginable. These traditions were the prompting of Jesus calling the Pharisees the sons of Satan. These traditions were the basis of the books of Judaism that were partially written down first as the Jewish Talmud, and this work was not completed until about 500 BC. This doctrine works is known as the Babylonian Talmud, Doctrines of Men. Those that belong to the religion of Judaism claim to follow the Torah. It's not really true. Judaism follows the Babylonian Talmud. Return from the captivity in Babylon is the mark of the beginning of what we call Judaism. Judaism is a totally different religion than the religion of Moses and Abraham. Judaism is the enemy of the gospel. Dave George was in many ways correct this morning when he spoke on the genealogy of the Jews. Please read on. Traditional enemies of the Israelites, the Edomites, were the descendants of Esau, who often battled the Jewish nation. Edom was in the southeast Palestine, stretched from the Red Sea at Elath to the Dead Sea, and encompassed some of Israel's most fertile land. The Edomites attacked Israel under Saul's leadership. King David would later defeat that rogue nation, annexing the land, and at the fall of the first temple, the Edomites attacked Judah and looted the temple, accelerating its destruction. The Edomites were later forcibly converted into Judaism by John Hyrcanus, and then became an active part of the Jewish people. Famous Edomites include Herod, who built the second temple, and this stuff all comes from Jewish Virtual Library. John Hyrcanus gave the citizens of Edom a choice: convert to Judaism or a beheading. Many converted and many later became temple scribes. And here are my sources. So he's got some sources down below that I'm not going to get into. So all this email is saying what? That Jewish blood has been mixed. And Jesus said, not all Israel's of Israel. What Jesus was talking about. When Jesus talked about the synagogue of Satan, which I'm going to get to here in a second. This is what he's talking about. Those who say they are Jews and they are not, but they're of the synagogue of Satan. But I'm going to pause there a minute. I'm going to let you digest that. If you want to, we will get you the references that the viewer, the emailer, sent to me so that you can check it out on your own. Okay? I'll open the door. Somebody come in.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I commend that gentleman. Gentleman that he's done some major study. That's the study I did a few years ago. Thank goodness with the help of Charles Jennings, who has a wonderful ministry called Truth in History.
Mm-hmm.
And to further one thing, that's why the old Levitical priesthood had been hijacked. So Herod, the Levitical priesthood in Jesus' day and even before, those positions had been bought and paid for. So people like Herod paid to have that position. It had become so perverted and so corrupted. But it's just, this is all history.
George,
it's all history. We have to have a hunger to learn.
Hey, boys, help me out here. Hasn't Christianity become polluted just in the last 50 years?
Yeah.
The version of Christianity that our forefathers had compared to what we have, has it not become polluted in 50 or 60 years? So why are we to believe that the Israelites, the Jews, whatever you want to, why are we to believe that's still pure? Look at what's happened to our own faith.
And did you know, I'll get into this, maybe, probably not today. I'm not going to talk about this stuff tomorrow. The Talmud. Do you even know what the Talmud is? Do you understand that the average follower of Judaism, they follow the Talmud. They don't follow the Torah. You guys understand that? Are we being taught this? When we say that that these people are our spiritual fathers, do you understand they took a way left turn? Do you understand that when Jesus came, he said, man, you guys have gone off the rails. You guys are off the rails here. You're off the rails. And we're still sitting back believing that they are God's chosen people. I'm looking for an email. Somebody jump in here. I'm looking for an email. You mad at me yet?
You don't like, but it's the same
you don't
thing
like that shrimp? You don't like that shrimp? Is that what it is?
I love that shrimp. But Coach, it's exactly the same thing that's happened to Christianity. It's been hijacked. It's been perverted. It's been mingled with dirty, filthy water. Catholicism is a good sign of that. That was a great teaching. I was enlightened to some things. And brother, I want to tell you something. The same thing in Christianity. We have adapted a little bit of this and a little bit of that, brother. And it has become another swamp pool within the church.
Amen, brother. Amen. Okay, so are you sitting down a minute now? You're all sitting down. Jared, let's go to the stuff I sent you today. And let's go here. Again, this is from a viewer who isn't called in. So I'm giving you their call. Click on Jared. Where is it? I'm sorry, Jared. Who are the lost tribes? Click on that one, Jared. It's third from the bottom. Who are the lost tribes? Here's a, hey, there's some lobster. Here's some crab legs. Maybe it's a little bit different than the diet that you've been eating. But somebody out there watching the show emailed me this. Says, Coach, have you seen this? But no, I haven't. Okay, so what's it say here? Well, let's see. It says, to understand the lost sheep of the house of Israel, we first need to clearly understand the word Gentile. Could you tell me right now what a Gentile is? Don't come in here right now. I'm sorry. I'm just asking. Rhetorical. Could you describe it? Yesterday we know some of you couldn't tell us what the 10 tribes of Israel were. Okay, we proclaim to be followers of our faith. Yeah, we didn't even know that basic thing. Some do, but most didn't. We hear about the house of Israel, lost sheep of the house. Anybody idea who the lost sheep of the house of Israel are? Anybody ever thought about that? You ever hear that in your church? Anybody ever teach you that? Who the lost sheep were, or we just kind of brushed that off. Well, we got to understand what Gentile is. There's a lot of misunderstanding about the meaning, the word Gentile, and its correct usage. Gentile is a generic term. It's a generic word. It's like the word foreigner or stranger. It has no specific meaning until the user places it in specific context. A foreigner to one person would be a countryman to another. A stranger to one person is a friend to another. I got to get this thing off my screen. Off my screen, I can't see here, Jared. Right. Oh, there, that'll do it. There we go. A stranger to one person is a friend to another. Gentile to one group of people is a relative to another group of people. Gentile simply means not one of us, not of our group. Mormons call non-Mormons Gentiles, and Jews call non-Jews Gentiles. Be it, but outside such a specific context, the word Gentile does not stand on its own. You guys following this? So when they say they go to the Gentiles, they said they're going to a group that's not us. Go to the Gentiles. Go to a group go to those people over there. They're Gentiles. They're not us. When the word is used as slang, Gentiles are any who are uninitiated as in amateurs or neophytes. Those who are naive like potential victims or customers. Or anyone not of our group, like competing sport teams or competing company. So if you're not an Ohio State Buckeye, you're a Gentile. You're a Michigan fan. You're a Gentile. You're not one of us. For example, the lost sheep of the house of Israel are a unique subset of Gentiles who are Israelites. Please get this. They are Israelites, but they are not Jews. We'll let that sink in. You can be an Israelite and not be a Jew. Why? Why? Somebody, please. See, somebody show me you're getting it. Why can you be an Israelite and not be a Jew?
Because Israel is bigger than the one tribe of Jews.
Because Jews were of the tribe of Judah. They were the Jews. Except when Babylonian Talmud comes in, then everybody becomes a Jew. But that's not true. You with me? Stay with me.
The Israelites were Hebrew.
Yes. But not necessarily Jews. So viewed from a Jewish perspective, being non-Jews, they were Gentiles. They were Gentiles because why? They weren't part of their group. But viewed from an Israeli perspective, they're not Gentiles, but fellow Israelites. All Jews are Israelites, but not all Israelites are Jews.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
But dare I say, the powers to be, the most powerful lobby group in the United States that controls the banking, the politicians, you name it, if Christians start understanding this, they won't be able to control us.
Racism. Mm-hmm.
Racism. Yeah, George is a racist. You're anti-Semitic, George. Anti-Semitic.
I'm sorry. I do have two black cats, so I'm sorry.
Yeah, but they're not Jewish. You need some Jewish cats to not be anti-Semitic.
They're Israelites.
All right. So Matthew 10, verse 5 to 6 says this. The 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the ways of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In order to understand this verse, we need to remember the title House of Israel was assigned exclusively to the northern kingdom when the Davidic kingdom split. The northern kingdom, folks, was never Jewish. They were Israelites, but they were not of the tribe of Judah. They were never Jewish. Therefore, Jesus' command to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel was not a command to go to the lost Jews. Jesus was both an Israelite and a Jew. He said, in effect, do not go to Israelite Gentiles. That is, do not go to non-Israelites. The common misinterpretation was him referring to Jewish Gentiles by saying, do not go to non-Jews. That's not what Jesus said. It's my little girl here, Reese. The post-Davidic house of Israel soon became the lost tribes of Israel, which won their freedom from Assyrians in 610 BC. These 5 million non-Jewish Israelites, say it again really quickly, slowly. These non-Jewish Israelites. Reese, can you read that for me? Read that. Say it loud so they can hear you.
The post
spread quickly
from
to the west and northwest as they exploded into the history as the Celtics, whose offspring would later be known as Europeans and Americans. It was to these non-Jewish Israelites in Galatia, Ephesus, and Corinth that Jesus sent his apostles. These are to the people to whom Paul wrote his letters to young churches. These northern kingdom Israelites, which received so much attention from Paul, were not Jews, but were Gentiles in the Jewish sense that they were not Jews. However, they were not Gentiles. Oh my goodness, look what else is coming. I'm getting distracted here. The huge northern Celtic kingdom of Israelites was and simply called the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Bob Don, hang on. Hey, I'll switch to steak here in a minute. Something you may be a little bit more comfortable with. History tends to bother us. These Celtic or Celtic Israelite Gentiles made up the bulk of the early Christians, and their offspring are the backbone of Christianity today. Only their identity was temporarily lost from history as part of God's specific punishment for the northern kingdom. The southern kingdom received its own punishment. But his promise to them was never lost. All the promises their ancestors received as pre-split Israelites
But those extra promises they received as post-split northern Israelites still apply, for God's inheritance has no statute of limitation. But in a nutshell, Coach, here's a nutshell. Not all Israelites are Jews. Jews were a subset of the 12 tribes, the tribe of Judah. So when we declare all of those people in Israel are Jews, my friends, that just is not the truth. Somebody come on in.
I will.
Well, Coach, of course, I love history, and that was a very good, that was a big piece of T-bone right there. That was good stuff.
Sure was.
The question asked most Christians, they couldn't name the 12 disciples, or say, can you even quote the 66 books in the Bible in order? And, brother, they just would look at you with deers in the headlight. I mean,
you're convicting me here, Dale.
It's that blue pill.
Yep.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I would just consider people listening to this show wherever you are, just consider what Coach is saying today. You know, the thing that so many people do when we don't understand something, we attack. And a lot of this, what I call dispensationalism, this false Judaism, it didn't happen in one day for me to undo some of this thinking. It took studying the history. It took really praying about it and delving into it. But I'll say this, the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth if we allow him. So just consider what Coach is sharing today.
Amen. Amen.
Well, George, I want to add to that, because here's the dividing line. What was just shared, what I just heard and what I just read, wasn't an opinion. It wasn't an opinionated book. It was a simple fact, historical
book. That's
right. And so
history
is really about his story. And so when I look at these different books that are outside, I mean, many of it is just a person's interpretation or an opinion of what they think a scripture might say. But when I'm looking at history, history is history. And that's what I just heard.
Dave. Amen. So just a second, Roger. You ever heard any of this? Have you ever heard any of this? Any of you Christians that are watching right now, have you ever heard any of this? Go ahead, Roger.
Dave, let's assume sitting next to you was John Hagee, okay? Where would he say you're wrong? Where would he put his unwavering support for Israel in a nutshell? What would he say that the covenants with the land or the people, what would he say in debate?
I would say he'd say the covenant is an everlasting covenant with God. And I wouldn't disagree with John Hagee on that, except I don't think he clearly knows what a Jew is.
Well,
or he's been confused. He is confusing Israelite with Jew. They're not the same thing.
Okay,
I would say that first and foremost, Raj. Go ahead, Larry.
This may be putting a hot dog on a table full of steaks, but I would say that the concept of what a Jew is in people's minds is just as egregiously wrong as the concept of what a Christian is in people's minds.
I think it's a great point, Larry. I think there are probably, somewhere out there, I think there are probably some Jews who follow the Torah. But the majority of what we would call Jews in America follow the Babylonian Talmud. They don't follow, sorry guys, they don't follow the Old Testament. They don't follow, they don't. Why would the scriptures say very clearly, those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan, which by the way is the next thing I've got pulled up there, Jared, if you can pull that up there. The synagogue of Satan. Those who say they are Jews and are not. The Bible says that. But of the synagogue of Satan. So I just Googled here, got questions. I like them. What's the synagogue of Satan? Well, the synagogue of Satan is mentioned twice in Revelation. Once in Jesus' letter to the first century church in Smyrna, and the other to the church in Philadelphia. And in both cases, the synagogue of Satan is opposed to the mission and message of the church. You hear that? The synagogue of Satan opposes Christ. All right? To the church in Smyrna, Jesus said, I know your afflictions and your poverty, that you are rich. And I know about the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not.
but are a synagogue of Satan. Revelation 2:9. To the Church of Philadelphia in Asia Minor, Jesus said, I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Revelation 3:9. In short, the synagogue of Satan was a group of unbelieving Jews who were persecuting the Christians, and these groups were guilty of slandering the church of Smyrna and opposing the church of Philadelphia. The majority of persecution in New Testament church came from the Jewish community. Even most of Romans' persecution was an effort to appease the Jewish authorities. Remember when they crucified Jesus? They took him to the Romans because the Jews, they said, we don't have the right to do it. We can't do it. So they went to the Romans. So it was a political buy-off, like the conservative, the moral majority gets in bed with the Republicans. Well, the Jews got in bed with Pilate. He was their government guy. This is true of Pilate's condemnation of Jesus and Paul's imprisonment before the Roman governor. This pattern held true throughout the Roman world in the first century. As long as Christians were considered a sect of Judaism, they were exempted from the required observance of certain aspects of the Roman state religion. Therefore, Christians outside the protective umbrella where the synagogue were open to Roman persecution. So the synagogue of Satan were those who said they were Jews and were not, and were in opposition to the gospel. Come on in, somebody. Well, nobody coming in?
Hey, Coach, it's Gary.
Did
you ever look up something called NKUSA? It stands for something. It says it's a Jewish... It's these Jewish people that are against Zionism, and they believe that Israel wasn't.
Yes, I have, Gary.
Okay.
I don't have it before. Yes, I've heard it. I've heard that. See, listen, folks. Here's the confusion, Gary. In all of our mind, here's the confusion. Okay. I don't think we know who God's chosen people are. That I think is the confusion. And because we're not really sure who they are, we're uncertain in what we're allowed to say and what we're allowed to do and what we believe. And I think if we could ever really zero in on who God's chosen people are, a lot of this stuff would clear up.
Yeah, my brother's in an ancestral. He's handicapped. He's in a wheelchair. He's in there at Ancestry, and he had a DNA test done and find out that he's got 14% Jewish blood in him.
Israel blood, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Because they would call it Jewish, right? They would call it Jewish. It may not be Jewish.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So do you understand? You guys do understand this, then? I hope you understand this, that all of those Jews, all the Jews that we see in America and all the Jews we see in the world, they're not all from the same tribe. Come on, tell me you understand that, okay? They're not all Jews.
Hey, Coach.
They may all claim Israelite blood. They're not all Jews. Yeah, Larry.
Yeah, let me help you out on who God's chosen people are. Many are called, but few are chosen.
Well, that didn't help me out.
Well, it's the Christians that answer the call. It's the Christians that answer the call. They're chosen.
All right. So to whomever, right? Whomever. That's to me. Now, listen, this is not replacement theology. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about who is God's children. I'm a child of God. If you've been born again, baptized, and received Christ as your Savior, you're his family. It's not a birthright thing. It was a birthright thing in the beginning because why? He had to get the seed through. Oh, man. Maybe tomorrow we'll have some ice cream. Maybe tomorrow we'll go on something that's not as hard to digest or as hard to chew. Because I'm going to hear it in my email. People are going to be mad because their whole Christian theology is based around the fact that Israel is the Jews. Boom. That's the box. The ministry's running on. Yeah, if Jared pulled up Brother Nathaniel, I don't even want to go there. Because they'll just start calling me names. See, it's the same thing, right? Hey, can I tell you? It's just Christian Kanye West. That's all it is. You're not allowed to think for yourself. Let us tell you what to think. And we say Israel's God's place, chosen people. Yes. I'm just asking.
Hey, the other day when we talked and you said everything that's hidden will be revealed. And you know what? If to all my fellow brothers that still believe that the current state of Israel are God's chosen people, let me just say this. the truth will be revealed. If we're wrong, it will be revealed and we'll have to repent. If you're wrong, you'll have to repent. But you know,
hey, George, hang on a minute, George.
It's George.
Don't you tell me what I believe. You don't even know what I believe, George.
I'm just telling
you this. It sure appears to be open to debate, doesn't it?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
When Jesus said, not all Israel is Israel? When Jesus said, those who say they are Jews and are not? What, was he lying? Was he lying to us? Tricking us? I don't think so. Well, chew on that all evening. Get up tomorrow morning. I'll have some oatmeal, some mush for you in the morning. Maybe that'll be a little bit more acceptable to your palate. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.